This is the reading for July 3rd. Job chapter 34. Then Elihu said, "Hear my words, you wise men. Listen to me, you who know a lot. The ear tests words as the tongue tastes food. Let's decide for ourselves what is right, and let's learn together what is good. Job says, 'I am not guilty, and God has refused me a fair trial.' Instead of getting a fair trial, I am called a liar. I have been seriously hurt, even though I have not sinned. There is no other man like Job. He takes insults as if he were drinking water. He keeps company with those who do evil and spends time with wicked men because he says, 'It is no use to try to please God.' So listen to me, you who can understand. God can never do wrong. It is impossible for the Almighty to do evil. God pays a person back for what he has done and gives him what his actions deserve. Truly, God will never do wrong. The Almighty will never twist what is right. No one chose God to rule over the earth or put him in charge of the whole world. If God should decide to take away life and breath, then everyone would die together and turn back into dust. If you can understand, hear this, listen to what I have to say. Can anyone govern who hates what is right? How can you blame God, who is both fair and powerful? God is the one who says to kings, 'You are worthless,' or to important people, 'You are evil.' He is not nicer to princes than other people, nor kinder to rich people than poor people, because he made them all with his own hands. They can die in a moment in the middle of the night. They are struck down, and then they pass away. Powerful people die without help. God watches where people go. He sees every step they take. There is no dark place or deep shadow where those who do evil can hide from him. He does not set a time for people to come before him for judging. Without asking questions, God breaks powerful people into pieces and puts others in their place because God knows what people do. He defeats them in the night when they are crushed. He punishes them for the evil they do so that everyone else can watch because they stopped following God and did not care about any of his ways. The cry of the poor comes from God. He hears the cry of the needy. But if God keeps quiet, who can blame him? If he hides his face, who can see him? God still rules over both nations and persons alike. He keeps the wicked from ruling and from trapping others. But suppose someone says to God, 'I am guilty, but I will not sin anymore. Teach me what I cannot see. If I have done wrong, I will not do it again.' So Job, should God reward you as you want when you refuse to change? You must decide, not I. So tell me what you know. Those who understand speak, and the wise who hear me say, 'Job speaks without knowing what is true. His words show he does not understand.' I wish Job would be tested completely, because he answered like an evil man. Job now adds to his sin by turning against God. He claps his hands and protests, speaking more and more against God." 1 Chronicles chapter 25. David and the commanders of the army chose some of the sons of Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun to preach and play harps, lyres, and cymbals. Here is a list of the men who served in this way. Asaph's sons who served were Zachur, Joseph, Nethaniah, and Asarelah. King David chose Asaph to preach, and Asaph directed his sons. Jeduthun's sons who served were Gedaliah, Zeri, Jeshaiah, Shemaiah, Hashabiah, and Mattathiah. There were six of them, and Jeduthun directed them. He preached and used a harp to give thanks and praise to the Lord. Heman's sons who served were Bukiah, Mattaniah, Uzziel, Shubael, Jeremoth, Hananiah, Hanani, Eliatha, Gedalti, Ramamti Ezer, Joshbekasha, Molothai, Hother, and Mahaziath. All these were sons of Heman, David's seer. God promised to make Heman strong, so Heman had many sons. God gave him 14 sons and 3 daughters. Heman directed all his sons in making music for the temple of the Lord with cymbals, lyres, and harps. That was their way of serving in the temple of God. King David was in charge of Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman. These men and their relatives were trained and skilled in making music for the Lord. There were 288 of them. Everyone threw lots to choose the time his family was to serve at the temple. The young and the old, the teacher and the student, had to throw lots. First, the lot fell to Joseph from the family of Asaph. Second, 12 men were chosen from Gedaliah, his sons and relatives. Third, 12 men were chosen from Zuchar, his sons and relatives. Fourth, 12 men were chosen from Isri, his sons and relatives. Fifth, 12 men were chosen from Nethaniah, his sons and relatives. Sixth, 12 men were chosen from Bukiah, his sons and relatives. Seventh, 12 men were chosen from Jesarullah, his sons and relatives. Eighth, 12 men were chosen from Jeshiah, his sons and relatives. Ninth, 12 men were chosen from Mattaniah, his sons and relatives. 10th, 12 men were chosen from Shemiah, his sons and relatives. 11th, 12 men were chosen from Azarel, his sons and relatives. 12th, 12 men were chosen from Hashabiah, his sons and relatives. 13th, 12 men were chosen from Shubael, his sons and relatives. 14th, 12 men were chosen from Mattathiah, his sons and relatives. 15th, 12 men were chosen from Jeremoth, his sons and relatives. 16th, 12 men were chosen from Hananiah, his sons and relatives. 17th, 12 men were chosen from Jotbakesha, his sons and relatives. 18th, 12 men were chosen from Hanani, his sons and relatives. 19th, 12 men were chosen from Malothi, his sons and relatives. 20th, 12 men were chosen from Eliathi, his sons and relatives. 21st, 12 men were chosen from Hothir, his sons and relatives. 22nd, 12 men were chosen from Gedaltai, his sons and relatives. 23rd, 12 men were chosen from Mahazioth, his sons and relatives. 24th, 12 men were chosen from Romamti-Ezer, his sons and relatives. 1 Chronicles chapter 26. These are the groups of the gatekeepers. From the family of Korah, there was Meshelemiah, son of Kor, who was from Asaph's family. Meshelemiah had sons. Zechariah was his first son. Jediah was second. Zebediah was third. Jathniel was fourth. Elam was fifth. Jehohanan was sixth. And Eliehoenai was seventh. Obed-Edom had sons. Shemaiah was his first son. Jehozabad was second. Joah was third. Sachar was fourth. Nathanael was fifth. Amiel was sixth. Issachar was seventh. And Pulathai was eighth. God blessed Obed-Edom with children. Obed-Edom's son Shemaiah also had sons. They were leaders in their father's family because they were capable men. Shemaiah's sons were Othni, Raphael, Obed, Elzabad, Elihu, and Semachiah. Elihu and Semachiah were skilled workers. All these were Obed-Edom's descendants. They and their sons and relatives were capable men and strong workers. Obed-Edom had 62 descendants in all. Meshelemiah had sons and relatives who were skilled workers. In all, there were 18. From the Merari family, Hosah had sons. Shimri was chosen to be in charge. Although he was not the oldest son, his father chose him to be in charge. Hilkiah was his second son. Tobaliah was third, and Zechariah was fourth. In all, Hosah had 13 sons and relatives. These were the leaders of the groups of gatekeepers, and they served in the temple of the Lord. Their relatives also worked in the temple. By throwing lots, each family chose a gate to guard. Young and old threw lots. Meshelemiah was chosen by lot to guard the east gate. Then lots were thrown for Meshelemiah's son, Zechariah. He was a wise counselor and was chosen for the north gate. Obed-Edom was chosen for the south gate, and Obed-Edom's sons were chosen to guard the storehouse. Shupim and Hosah were chosen for the west gate, and the Sheleketh gate on the upper road. Guards stood side by side with guards. 6 Levites stood guard every day at the east gate. 4 Levites stood guard every day at the north gate. 4 Levites stood guard every day at the south gate, and 2 Levites at a time guarded the storehouse. There were 2 guards at the western court and 4 guards on the road to the court. These were the groups of the gatekeepers from the families of Korah and Merari. Other Levites were responsible for guarding the treasuries of the temple of God and for the places where the holy items were kept. Ladan was Gershon's son and the ancestor of several family groups. Jehiel was a leader of one of the family groups. His sons were Zetham and Joel his brother, and they were responsible for the treasuries of the temple of the Lord. Other leaders were chosen from the family groups of Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. Shubael, the descendant of Gershom, who was Moses' son, was the leader responsible for the treasuries. These were Shubael's relatives from Eleazar. Eleazar's son, Rehabiah, Rehabiah's son, Jeshiah, Jeshiah's son, Joram, Joram's son, Zikri, and Zikri's son, Shelomith. Shelomith and his relatives were responsible for everything that had been collected for the temple by King David, by the heads of families, by the commanders of 1,000 men and of 100 men, and by other army commanders. They also gave some of the things they had taken into wars to be used in repairing the temple of the Lord. Shelomith and his relatives took care of all the holy items. Some had been given by Samuel the seer, Saul, son of Kish, Abner, son of Ner, and Joab, son of Jeruiah. Kenaniah was from Izhar's family. He and his sons worked outside the temple as officers and judges in different places in Israel. Hashabiah was from the Hebron family. He and his relatives were responsible for the Lord's work and the king's business in Israel west of the Jordan River. There were 1,700 skilled men in Hashabiah's group. The history of the Hebron family shows that Jeriah was their leader. In David's 40th year as king, the records were searched, and some capable men of the Hebron family were found living at Jazer in Gilead. Jeriah had 2,700 relatives who were skilled men and leaders of families. King David gave them the responsibility of directing the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and East Manasseh in God's work and the king's business.
Chapter 12.
About that time, King Herod devoted his attention to mistreating certain members of the church. He had James, the brother of John, executed. When he saw how this pleased the Jews, he arrested Peter too. This happened during the days of unleavened bread. After capturing Peter, Herod had him thrown into prison with 16 soldiers in squads of 4 to guard him. Herod wanted to bring Peter to trial in front of the people after Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was praying very hard to God for him. The night before Herod was going to bring Peter to trial, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers. His hands were bound with 2 chains, and guards were in front of the door. They were watching the prison. Suddenly, an angel from the Lord stood near Peter, and his cell was filled with light. The angel nudged Peter's side, woke him up, and said, "Hurry, get up!" At that moment, the chains fell from Peter's hands. The angel told him, "Put your shoes on and get ready to go." Peter did this. Then the angel told him, "Put your coat on and follow me." Peter followed the angel out of the cell. He didn't realize that what the angel was doing was actually happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guard post and came to the iron gate that led into the city. This gate opened by itself for them, so they went outside and up the street. The angel suddenly left Peter. When Peter came to his senses, he said, "Now I'm sure that the Lord sent his angel to rescue me from Herod and from everything the Jewish people are expecting to happen to me." When Peter realized what had happened, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark. Many people had gathered at her home and were praying. Peter knocked on the door of the entryway, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so happy that instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and reported, "Peter is standing at the door." The people told her, "You're crazy." But she insisted that Peter was at the door. They said, "It has to be his angel." But Peter kept knocking. When they opened the door, they were shocked to see him. Peter motioned with his hand to quiet them down and told them how the Lord had taken him out of prison. He added, "Tell James and the other believers about this." Then he left and went somewhere else. In the morning, the soldiers were in an uproar over what had happened to Peter. Herod searched for Peter but couldn't find him, so he questioned the guards and gave orders to have them executed. Then Herod left Judea and went to Caesarea, where he stayed for a while. Herod was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. They were going to meet with Herod. They had agreed on what they wanted to do. They enlisted the help of Blastus to ask Herod for terms of peace. This was because their cities depended on Herod for their food supply. Blastus was in charge of the king's living quarters. The appointed day came. Herod, wearing his royal clothes, sat on his throne and began making a speech to them. The people started shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man!" Immediately, an angel from the Lord killed Herod for not giving glory to God. Herod was eaten by maggots, and he died. But God's word continued to spread and win many followers. After Barnabas and Saul delivered the contribution to the leaders in Jerusalem, they returned to Antioch from Jerusalem. They brought John Mark with them.